శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితామృత ఆది లీలా చాప్టర్ 1 టైటిల్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్స్ టెక్స్ట్ 15 ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ గ్లోరీ టు ది బైశుల ప్రభుపాద్ గ్లోరీ టు ది ఆల్ మర్సిఫుల్ రాధా అండ్ మదన మోహన్ ఐ ఎమ్ లేమ్ అండ్ ఇల్ అడ్వైజ్డ్ యెట్ దే ఆర్ మై డైరెక్టర్స్ అండ్ దే లోటస్ ఫీట్ are everything to me. This verse doesn't have a purport, but it was the right verse for the topic today. So I'm selecting a small portion of the purport from another verse, which is connected to this verse. And that is the portion of the purport to text 19. The three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda and Gopijana Vallabha, have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mohan is on the platform of re-establishing our forgotten relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, we are presently in utter ignorance of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Pango refers to one who cannot move independently by his own strength. And Mandamate is one who is less intelligent because he is too absorbed in material or mental speculation. He is too absorbed in materialistic activities. It is best for such persons not to aspire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation, but instead simply to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The perfection of life is simply to surrender to the Supreme. In the beginning of our spiritual life, we must therefore worship Madan Mohan, so that he may attract us and nullify our attachment for sense gratification. This relationship with Madan Mohan is necessary for neophyte devotees. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురున్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీగురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాం సహగణలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. So today, tomorrow, and the day after, the topic is the three main deities of Vrindavan: Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath. Gopinath is also called Gopijana Vallabha. So today we'll start with Madan Mohan. But before that, a brief historical background. So we're going to have a little history, a little leela, and a little philosophy. And after that, prasadam for everybody. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Braj, there were no temples there. And practically none of the pastime places were known. Some were known, the forests were known. There was one local Brajabasi who who escorted Mahaprabhu around the different forests of Braj. So there was an idea that this is this forest and this is that forest and these pastimes happened here. But the specific pastime places, like say for example Radha Kund and Shyam Kund, were not known. It was Mahaprabhu who went and actually identified these places. And Radha Kund and Shyam Kund were just like paddy fields at that time. So Mahaprabhu actually initiated the work of identifying and establishing the pastime places of Krishna in Braj, which were not known to people anymore. And when he came back, he instructed his dear disciples, the Goswamis, to perform certain very important duties in Braj. One was to study all the scriptures, the Vedic scriptures in detail, and extract the essential conclusions, which are of course devotional, and to write books about them. The second was to write about the proper etiquette, the lifestyle that a Vaishnava should have, and what kinds of activities the Vaishnava should engage in, and how those different activities have to be performed. The third was to construct temples, establish places of worship, and actually start the worship there in those places. And finally, the instruction to the six Goswamis was to identify the lost pastime places of Krishna in Brajabhumi. And these four instructions were fulfilled by the Goswamis very well. Even when Rup and Sanatan Goswamis came to Vrindavan, there were no temples there. Incidentally, Rup and Sanatan Goswamis were not the first Goswamis to go to Vrindavan from Bengal. Any names of who else went before them? Sorry? Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami, that's right. So there were some Goswamis who who went to Braj before Rup and Sanatan Goswamis. But they just stayed there and did bhajan. Rup and Sanatan, when they came there, then they were also doing bhajan, just simply wandering from place to place, living under this tree one night, living under another tree another night, and performing austerities and chanting. And when they all got together, they would discuss the scriptures, they would discuss their compositions, and they were very, very blissful doing that. That is actually the happiness of a devotee, to sit with other devotees and hear and chant about Krishna. There's no greater happiness than this. But as time went by, they realized that yes, Mahaprabhu had given other instructions as well. The temples had to be built. Worship had to be established. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that there are many things required to push on a preaching movement. And temple construction is one of them. So construction of temples as well as distribution of transcendental literature, both are very important to push ahead the preaching movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So construction of temples was something that was to be done. But where were the Goswamis going to construct temples from? There was no life membership system at that time, or they didn't have any funds. And who was there in Braj anyway? Just a few villagers living there who were very poor anyway. And the Goswamis had left behind all their wealth and come. Although Sanatan and Rupa Goswami had been very wealthy, but they gave up everything. And they came to Vrindavan as mendicants. So where was the money to build temples? Where were the deities? You see, Vajranab, many years before, had established deities. The credit for many of the original deities and pastime places that we know today go to Vajranab. He was a son of Aniruddha, who was a son of Pradyumna, who in turn was the oldest son of Krishna in Dwarka. So Vajranab was the great grandson of Krishna. And after Krishna's departure, he came to Mathura. He was already there before, and then he established many pastime places. He excavated many kunds. Kunds are basically small ponds or lakes. And he also had deities specially carved from a certain special type of stone called Braja. And it is said that there are 16 deities in particular that he had carved and established in temples at different places. Of course, that was many, many years before, maybe around 5,000 years ago. The Goswamis went 500 years ago, so there was a time gap of almost 4,500 years. So, but these temples and these, what to speak of the temples, even the deities were not found anywhere. So when Rupa and Sanatan came there, neither were there any temples, nor were there any deities at that time. Today, you have thousands of deities everywhere. I remember at one place in Sampurpur, Prabhupada mentions in the 1970s, even before the current explosion took place of temples, he said there are 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. Not just the main temples, but also every home had a temple. And worship was going on in a very wonderful devotional way in every house practically. So at that time, when Vajranab had these deities carved, and then with the passage of time, things were lost. So it is said that amongst the deities carved by Vajranab, there were 4 devas, 2 naths, and there were 2 gopals. There were other deities as well. The 4 devas were the 4 presiding deities of the 4 parts of Braj. One was Haridev of Govardhan. The second was Keshav Dev of Mathura. The third was Baladev of Dauji. And the fourth was Govindadev of Vrindavan. So he's one of the 3 deities we're going to speak about in this series. So one of the devas was Govindadev. As far as the 2 Gopals are concerned, there was Madan Gopal, who later became known as Madan Mohan, the topic for today. Earlier he was known as Madan Gopal. And the other Gopal is the famous Sakshi Gopal. We've all heard of the Sakshi Gopal story. So these were the 2 Gopals. And the 2 Naths, Nath means Lord. One was Gopal, who is Srinathji, who is presently in Nathdwara. And very popular amongst the Pushtimargi devotees. He is in the posture of lifting the Govardhan hill. And the other Nath is Gopinath. Again, one of the 3 deities we're going to speak about today, also known as Gopi Janavallabha. So these deities were carved and then nobody knew where they were. One by one, they somehow manifested to the Goswamis because they wanted to appear and fulfill Mahaprabhu's desire. So for example, you know that Srinathji appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream, and then there was a wonderful pastime of his taking the help of the villagers and identifying where the deity was in the midst of the bushes and so on. So like this, one by one, all the deities manifested to the different great devotees of the Lord. And then gradually, one by one, these temples were established. So with the coming of Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, the first 3 temples were established. Madan Mohan was the very first one. And then there were other 2 temples, Govindadev and Gopinath. Of course, other temples also started coming up. Today, we have the Sapta Devalaya, or the 7 famous temples of Vrindavan. Okay, let's have a little quiz. Which are the 7 temples of Vrindavan? And who were their who were the main acharyas behind them, who were instrumental in having them constructed. First, Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, of which acharya? Sanatan Goswami. Then, Govinda Dev, of Srila Rupa Goswami. Third, Radha Gopinath, of Madhupandit Goswami. Fourth, Radha Raman, of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Fifth, Radha Gokulananda, of Lokanath Goswami. Then, Radha Damodar, of Jiva Goswami. And finally, Radha Shama Sundar, that's right, of Shamananda Pandit. Of course, the local Brajabasis now, they have Banke Bihari, which they put as one of the seven, which came a little later, also several centuries ago. But as far as the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are concerned, these were the seven temples, the Sapta Devalaya. But initially, there were none. Then there was Madan Mohan, and then there were these three. So at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, there were only these three temples existing, these three deities, actually. And therefore, when he begins the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the very first chapter, he has the Mangalacharana prayers. As you know, the Mangalacharan prayers are prayers that are recited in the beginning of any activity, whether it's a book or a lecture or a play or something like that. It's meant to invoke auspiciousness. Mangala. Mangala means auspicious. So he recites many verses as part of his Mangalacharana prayers. He recites first the 14 verses in glorification of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And that includes glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of the Gurus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and so on. After these 14 verses, then in verses 15, 16, and 17, he glorifies his three worshipable deities, the three main deities of Vrindavan at that time. Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath. So this is the 15th verse that we have up on the board, the first of the three main deities of Vrindavan at the time of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. There are many, many pastimes that happen with Madan Mohan. It is said that originally he was called Madan Gopal. And Advaita Acharya discovered him, or he appeared to Advaita Acharya at a place that is now called Advaita Vat, which is not too far down, very close to the current Madan Mohan temple. And this was near a banyan tree. A banyan tree is called a Vat, Vata tree, Vata Vriksha. So the place where Advaita Acharya would sit and perform his bhajan was called Advaita Vata. Later it became known like that. And suddenly this deity appeared to him. He found him there. And he began to worship him. But Advaita Acharya had to go back to Navadvip and Shantipur for continuing his preaching activities. And therefore he handed over the deity to one Brahmin from Mathura, whose name was Purushottam Chaube. And Purushottam Chaube continued to worship this deity in his house. And eventually it came into the hands of Sanatan Goswami. So how it came into the hands of Sanatan Goswami is also, of course, a wonderful pastime. And as with many other pastimes, there are slightly differing narrations that appear, either in folklore locally or in books that have been written by the Goswamis and other devotees. So in the book called Prem Vilas, we have the commonly known pastime of Madan Mohan or Madan Gopal appearing to Sanatan Goswami in a dream and telling him that I am in the house of Purushottam Chaube in Mathura. Please go there. So Sanatan Goswami dutifully next morning after the dream, when he woke up, he went to Mathura and he went to the house of Purushottam Chaube, or some people say Damodar Chaube. Anyway, so he went there. So he was shocked to see that the Chaube Brahmin's sons or children were playing with Madan Gopal as if he was their friend. And indeed, Madan Gopal was playing with them as a friend. He was a deity, but he was very active. So he would do all sorts of mischief with them. He would hide things, play, they would run, they would do everything. So the deity was living in the house of this Brahmin just as if he was one of his sons. And sometimes the Brahmin's wife would chastise Madan Gopal as if he was one of her other children. And Madan Gopal would run scared and he would obey her and so on. And when Sanatan Goswami saw this, he was shocked. And he mildly admonished the Chaube family. And he said, you know, he's the Lord. How can you deal with him like that? You have to deal with him with some respect. And then he went back. Of course, the Brajabasis were Brajabasis. They were dealing with Krishna the way they knew how to deal with Krishna, with spontaneous love. And even though Sanatan Goswami was on the platform of spontaneous love, but he understood that he had to establish proper procedures for worship of the deity. That had been one of the instructions given to him by Mahaprabhu. And in fact, he and Gopal Bhatta Goswami later wrote the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which contains elaborate rules and regulations for worship of the deity. But anyway, so when he said that, he went back and Chaube family was very repentant. Oh, you know, we have committed a lot of offenses. So they tried to deal very respectfully with Madan Gopal as if he was the Lord. And Madan Gopal didn't like that. So he appeared in Sanatan Goswami's dream and said, you spoiled everything. I was having so much fun in the house of Purushottam Chaube. I was playing with his children and we were running around here and there and I would sometimes get chastised. And now you've come along and told them rules and regulations and now they're looking at me with awe and reverence. And Sanatan Goswami again was struck with wonder. And then he rushed to make amends, to beg forgiveness from Purushottam Chaube. Meanwhile, Madan Gopal had already appeared to Purushottam Chaube, and some people say to his wife. He said, look, you already have so many children, so why don't you give me away to this monk who is going to come, this Baba who is going to come, Sanatan. So reluctant as they were, because they didn't want to part with Madan Gopal, but Madan Gopal had personally given them instructions. So they said, all right. They were waiting for Sanatan to come, and he promptly arrived in the morning. And Sanatan came for a different purpose. He came to apologize. He said, I'm really sorry, I offended all of you. But Madan Gopal came in my dream and scolded me and said, why did you tell the Chaube family this? And Chaube said, no. Actually, you're an exalted Vaishnava. Madan Gopal wants to be served by you now. He said, no. How can it be? I'm just a wandering mendicant. I don't even have any fixed residence. There's no saying what I will eat and when I will eat and how will I be able to feed him. So I don't know about that, but Madan Gopal wants to be with you. So be it. So now Madan Gopal came to Sanatan Goswami. And he didn't have a house. So he put him in a cloth bag, which he hung around his neck, much like we do our bead bags. And then he would keep him, Madan Gopal, with him. And now the name became Madan Mohan. And when he slept under a tree, he would keep Madan Gopal in his bag on the branch above for safety and security. And then he would wake up in the morning and freshen up and everything, and then he would carry the DT again with him and go to the next place. This is how he lived with Madan Mohan. Sometimes he would have no food. Sometimes he would have no food. He would do madhukari. Madhukari is the process of begging food, a little food, from every house. You go to many houses and take a little and little, 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 and then you accumulate enough for a meal and take that. You don't take too much from one house, because it may be burdensome for that one family who may be poor to give so much. And there were many babas or renounced people who were in Braj going around for madhukari. So it would be too heavy for these poor families to bear. Whereas if you took a little, then it wouldn't be too heavy for each family. And also, it isn't good to take too much prasadam repeatedly from one family. That's not a good principle for a renunciant. So one should take from various places. And by begging. The word madhukari comes from madhu, which means a bee. And kari means the activities. A bee normally goes to one flower, takes a little honey, a nectar, goes to the next, takes a little bit, the next, a little bit, and collects so much nectar from different flowers, and then it goes and makes the honey. So Sanatana Goswami was following that principle. And sometimes when he was so absorbed in his bhajan, in his devotion, he would forget to go, he would forget to eat. So Madan Mohan would have to fast. And he was happy to fast. He just wanted to be with Sanatan. Sometimes he would eat mostly dry chapatis, some chickpea flour he would get in madhukari. Sometimes he would just get a little flour, mix it with Yamuna water, make it into little balls and offer them. And such was the relationship between Madan Mohan and Sanatan, that Madan Mohan would eat everything that Sanatan would offer without complaint. But then, you know, everybody has their limits of tolerance, including Krishna. You know, so Madan Mohan was thinking, you know, one day he said to Sanatan, look, you know, Sanatan, I'm with you, I want to be with you. You know, your service is wonderful, but you know, at least you could put some salt in the chapati, you know. At least, you know, look, I'm not asking for something big, but just at least that. And then Sanatan, you know, he was busy doing something. And he said, look, today you're asking for salt in the chapati. Tomorrow you'll ask for sugar and sweets, and you'll ask for ghee, and you'll ask for all this. Where am I going to get all this from? I'm just a simple mendicant. I do madhukari. So you'll just have to be content with whatever, you know, I give you. So Madan Mohan had to accept it. He had no choice. Of course, that's not something we can imitate. You know, but that is the way deities are worshipped on the raga marg, in the path of raga, intense attachment. Then there's no rules and regulations. But for us, when we worship the deities, there is very strong consideration of vidhi, or rules and regulations. We can't follow the dealings of Sanatana Goswami with his deity when we deal with it. We have to have proper timings for offerings, the proper kinds of foodstuffs to be prepared, right salt, proper ghee, and everything has to be wonderfully done. So anyway, soon Madan Mohan must have started thinking, look, I need a house now also. You know, and no mortgage and all that, you know. We need just a clean, freehold land with ownership. You know, I just want to be in my own place. So he had to make his own arrangements naturally, because Sanatan, what could he do? He had only different trees each night. So one time, there was a businessman from the northern state of Punjab called Ramdas Kapoor, who had got some merchandise with him to sell in Agra. And he was carrying this merchandise in a boat that was flowing down the Yamuna. And his boat got stuck in a sandbar. And naturally, he was in a quandary. So he came to the shore somehow, and he was asking people, you know, what should I do? So the people said, you know, there's a very powerful sage called Sanatan who's living up there. You go and talk to him. Maybe by his mercy, you know, you'll be out of your predicament. So Ramdas Kapoor came to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan said, what do I know of these things? I'm just a simple mendicant here. But if you want a solution to your problems, you go to Madan Mohan and ask him. So Ramdas Kapoor came to Madan Mohan and said, my lord, I've been sent here by your devotee Sanatan Goswami. Now I have this problem. My boat full of merchandise is stuck in a sandbar. So please have mercy on me and release that boat for me so I can do my business. And I promise you, whatever profit I'll make, I'll give it for your service to Sanatan Goswami. And that is what Madan Mohan wanted. So he somehow or the other had some rain come in and it released the sand. It loosened up the sand, so the boat was released, and then the boat was free to move. Ramdas Kapoor was ecstatic. He went ahead to Agra, sold his merchandise. I think it was salt or whatever it is. And then he came back with a lot of money. He came to Sanatan Goswami and said, here, I have a lot of money for your seva to Madan Mohan. He said, what can I do with this money? I am still living under a tree. But then Sanatan Goswami realized that this is Madan Mohan's plan. He wants a place to stay now. And he wants good bhoga. So he said, okay, all right. What you do is, now you build a temple for Madan Mohan. So then Ramdas Kapoor set himself to do that. And he built a beautiful temple. I think it's about 60 feet high or something. Of course, later Aurangzeb's people came and created havoc over there. But this temple was made. The deities were established. And later, I believe, the deities of Radharani and Lalita were sent by Purushottam Jena, the son of Pratap Rudra Maharaj from Orissa. Those deities came later. But originally, there was only Madan Mohan. So then the gorgeous temple came up. That was the first temple. And after Aurangzeb's time, when the soldiers attacked, the deities of Vrindavan were sent to Rajasthan, where the Rajput Kshatriya kings, who were great Vaishnavas, protected the deities. And they had them established in gorgeous temples as well. And so it happened with Madan Mohan. He was taken to the king of Jaipur, who worshipped him very nicely in his palace temple. And the time came when his daughter had to be married. So she was married to the prince of a place called Karoli, which is at some distance from Jaipur. I suppose there are many of you who have gone to Karoli to see Madan Mohan. How many of you have gone? Okay, very few. So the next time you go to Vrindavan, if you have time, then try to go also to Jaipur and to Karoli and see the original deities of the Goswamis, the ones that were carved by Vajranab. So, but she was very attached to Madan Mohan. So she wanted Madan Mohan's deity to go with her as part of her dowry. Now everybody else in the family was also attached to Madan Mohan. And they didn't want to let Madan Mohan go. But the daughter was adamant. She said, no, I want to take him with me because I won't be able to live without him. So finally the father had to find a way out. So he said, all right, we have many deities of Krishna with us. Now you have to be blindfolded, and just by the sense of touch, you have to identify who Madan Mohan is. Whichever deity you choose, you carry that deity with you after marriage to Karoli. So then she prayed intensely to Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan said, don't worry, I'll pray a trick. You can identify me, blindfolded, by the touch of my arm. Just for you, my arm will suddenly become very soft. And then you can understand that it's me. She didn't reveal this, of course, to anybody. It was some form of transcendental trickery. So then with her eyes blindfolded, she touched all the Krishna deities that were offered to her. And she immediately identified Madan Mohan. And then she carried the Madan Mohan deity with her to her new place, to her husband's place. And then, of course, there was a nice temple built for him there in Karoli. So that's how the Madan Mohan deity temple was made initially, and then the new temple at Karoli. Now, Sanatan Goswami is considered the Sambandha Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that there are three stages of advancement in spiritual life. There is Sambandha Gyan, there is Abhidheya, and there is Prayojana. So these three main deities of Vrindavan, they represent these three principles. So Madan Mohan is a presiding deity for Sambandha Gyan. Govindadev is a presiding deity for Abhidheya Gyan. And Gopinath is a presiding deity for Prayojana. So we'll talk about these things later. We don't have much time now. But it's important to know something about Sambandha Gyan. So I've prepared three charts which very simply explain what Sambandha Gyan is all about. And we'll continue. We have two more days. So Madan Mohan can spill over a little bit for tomorrow. And then we'll discuss Govinda and Gopinath in the next 2 days. So can we please have somebody opening? Of course, most of you are very scholarly. You already know all these things. But just for the sake of completeness. Oh, not that. No. Yes. So the three stages of spiritual advancement as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first is Sambandha Gyan. Establishing one's own original relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the first stage. Sambandha means relationship. Gyan means knowledge. So the knowledge of one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second, Abhidheya. Acting according to that constitutional relationship that we, the souls, have with Krishna individually. And the third is Prayojana, the ultimate goal of life, which is love of Godhead. Prema Pumartho Mahan. So these are the three stages. So the deity for Sambandha Gyan is Madan Mohan. So what is Sambandha Gyan? Can we please have the next one? Prabhupada, in one purport, explains very nicely that Sambandha Gyan means knowledge of four items. Knowledge of oneself, knowledge of the universe, knowledge of God, and their internal relationship. So we can pictorially represent this in the form of a triangle. And the corners of the triangles represent the three points, universe, God, and the soul. So we must know these three. And we must also know their relationship. We must know the relationship of the soul to the universe, of the universe to God, and of between the soul and God. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has expanded on this, and he has identified what it is about God, what it is about the soul, that we must understand. So he has expanded this a little bit. The next one. Okay. So as far as the principle of God is concerned, there are three things that we need to know when it comes to Sambandha Gyan. And number one, that is Parama Tattva. That is to know that Krishna alone is a supreme absolute truth. What does it mean to know God? The first thing is that Krishna alone is a supreme absolute truth. The second thing to know about God is He is Sarva Shaktiman, or that He is the possessor of all potency. Third, You see, people usually may accept the first and the second about God in whichever way they believe God, according to different conceptions. But most often they don't understand the third point, which is so important, which is Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. Akhila means complete, rasa means mellow, amrit means nectar, sindhu means ocean. So he is the ocean of nectarian mellows. So if you want to know God, you have to know him as these three. Then, next point, what do you need to know about the soul? First and foremost, we need to know that all the souls are eternally separated parts and parcels of Krishna. Vibhinnaṃsha. Vibhinna means separated. Aṃsha means part and parcel. So this first point talks about the liberated souls as well as the conditioned souls. But in general, ontologically, the souls are parts and parcels of Krishna eternally. The second point we need to know about the souls is that there are some who are conditioned by material nature. They are in contact with matter and they are moving around in the cycle of birth and death. The third point to know about souls is that there are many souls who are liberated. So there's Baddha Jiva and there's Mukta Jiva. So there are many who are liberated. Those who stay in the spiritual world are liberated, and there are many who live in the material world but are also liberated. So they are Mukta Jiva. So we have these three and three, these six points that we need to know. And then, in between you can see Achintya Bheda Bheda. This one term encompasses or speaks about the interrelationship between these three principles of universe, God and soul. Simultaneously one and different. So the universe is simultaneously one and different from God. The universe is simultaneously one and different from the soul. And the soul is simultaneously one and different from God. All in different ways. So this principle of Achintya Bheda Bheda has to be understood. Once we've understood this, then we've understood Sambandha Jnana. And the presiding deity for Sambandha Jnana is Madan Mohan. And because the beloved servant of Madan Mohan is Sanatana Goswami, he is the Sambandha Acharya. So by studying the books of Sanatana Goswami and his teachings, we can understand Sambandha Jnana properly. So we'll stop here because it's 8:30 and we'll continue tomorrow with whatever points are left over from today, and we'll have Govinda and Gopinath in the next 2 days. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.